Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Glad to be with you. And I am glad to welcome back another repeat guest. And when they come on again, they're good. Because, you know, the ones that don't do so good, we don't let them come back. No, I'm kidding. We have a lot of great guests on the program, and chief of which among that very refined elite group is Robert Lara, and he is a great guy and a great guest, and he's done all kinds of stuff, which I just love it. He has a whole long list of accomplishments, including being a just prolific writer. Every time I turn around, he's got another report out, another writing out, columns and articles, so we're very glad to welcome Robert back to the program, and you can get a lot of good stuff over at his website. You know, there's several websites, but you can get started with robertlara.com, and we're glad to welcome him back. Welcome back, Robert. Good to have you with us.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate the opportunity. Enjoy talking to your listeners.
Well, we're glad to have you on, and Robert comes to us with a lot of great work, and one of the really fun things that he's done that's very insightful besides being a provocative title, Naked Retirement, Stripping It to the Core, a book he's written. And, of course, he's got a monthly newsletter, the Retirement Wellness Report. Go to the website. You can get a lot of good stuff there. And Robert also works with individuals and helps them plan their future. So we've got a lot of real-world anecdotal information we can share with you, ladies and gentlemen. So let's dive right in, Robert. A couple of great articles recently. Also writes for Forbes, which is not to be left out. And I really love your article you wrote about the way kids look at how they're going to get money from their parents. The title of the article was How Your Kids Really Feel About the Way You Plan to Divvy Up Your Assets. So what prompted you to write this particular? Was there a story, something that happened that got you really thinking about this?
I'm fortunate that, you know, I've played multiple roles in the financial services industry. I spent a lot of time as a trust officer.
Okay.
And of course, so we're just, you know, a big part of that is still the investment management piece, but at the end of the day, making sure documents or other things are in order. And on a regular basis, we'd be called into, you know, a situation where we're kind of making final preps and organizing things. And in this one case, I remember meeting with an older client who was on oxygen, kind of winding things down. And I got in the elevator with the daughter. And 5 minutes ago, she was a perfect, happy person. We get in the elevator, and things just go ugly really, really quick. Because she is frustrated because she has 3 kids and didn't go to college. But her brother only has 2. But and has a good job, but they're going to get a 50-50 split, mm-hmm. and she doesn't think it's fair.
And it's like you
kind of step back and think, like, well, what are you talking about? It's not even really your money to begin with.
Right.
But it's interesting because what I find that happens a lot, and I'm sure you see this, David, is if you don't tell people what or why you're doing things, they make their own assumptions, and that's some of the worst estate planning you can do.
That's true. So, say that again about it not being their money.
Exactly. Well, it's funny because so many people are just sitting there counting, waiting on, you know, that inheritance to come in, but that's exactly the case. Now, you know this too. The other interesting thing that happens a lot in these situations are people, you know, a lot of times the daughters are caught up being that the provider, that
caregiver,
you know, helping out. And so they could spend years at the house doing chores, taking care of mom and dad, and siblings across the country aren't doing anything. And again, they can feel very ripped off if they split things 50-50 or 33% across multiple people. So it really is about having these conversations, because if you don't, people are going to assume things, and those relationships can deteriorate as soon as you're gone.
That's very true. Yeah, and you, especially when you add in, and I'm sure you've seen this as well, Robert, when you add in the catalyst or the extra volatility of blended families, that you really can have some difficulties if you aren't real clear up front. And the best time to have these conversations, of course, is when you're not, you mentioned the example of somebody, you know, being on oxygen. You know, the time to have these conversations is not when you have to pull the oxygen mask off your face to talk. You know, it's now. Talk now to your family. You don't have to give them a CPA's full accounting of every asset, everywhere, everything, but to give them a general sense for what you want to accomplish, what your goals are, and why you're doing it, and to make sure they understand what it is, and then people can be maybe if they've got issues, then maybe you can work them out. But if not, at least everybody knows what the deal is.
And I think that's where it's more about, is letting people know kind of your thoughts and direction. And again, I think it is very important that you've also got the time just not to talk about money, but the emphasis that you want to portray. And again, I think it is saying, hey, you know, we've spent years growing and coming together as a family. I don't want our passing to pull it apart or for you guys to fight over money. So here's how we're doing it, and here's why we're doing it. Set the tone. Once again, just like a parent, when they're little, you're telling them why they can't stay out past 10 o'clock, why they can't hang out with certain friends. It's no different when they're in their 40s or 50s or other things. Hey, here's how this is going. Here's why it's going to go down like this. And again, over time, I think they'll be able to see the benefits of the reason that you choose to do it.
Yeah, and they don't have to like it. Okay, what they need is to know, and then they can take issue with it, like the daughter you gave the example of. And you know, it does afford the time to things to be worked out. And you know, you put a real good point on that, Robert, and I think that's something that we'll make sure the audience doesn't miss, and that is that if you don't tell people about it, or you don't tell people why, you know, people are left scratching their heads and having to draw conclusions that might have to do with other family members and the potential of another family member having influence that person. Now you've got a real problem. Or people make assumptions about why you've done it, and it having maybe having something to do with what a person has done or not done, as opposed to simply what the person thinks is a proper way of splitting up their assets.
Yeah, I think it comes back to, people talk about entitlements in society, you know, Social Security or Medicare and Medicaid. Well, a lot of people tend to have personal entitlements too, and think they deserve certain things from their parents. And again, it's the parents' responsibility to share that. But I think the other thing, you know, retirees need to be conscious about is not using beneficiary designations to fix problems. This happens quite a bit where people are just, I have a client come in, they're mad at their son or daughter, they didn't get invited to a party or a picnic, and all of a sudden they want to change their beneficiary designation. That doesn't change the relationship. And so you've got to be able to separate dollars and cents from personal cents.
Oh, well put, Robert. And, you know, can you imagine then if something later they reconcile and then everybody's hunky-dory and everybody's getting along and then they don't get back in there to change it back again?
That's exactly the case. Or if something were to have them, they pass, and now because of one incident, a son or daughter's left out and the other two get something,
right?
And everyone's mad at each other.
Right.
You know, so you really got to think through these pieces.
Well, on that point, the other thing, and I've seen this happen, is you have family members that are, and you probably saw this in your trust officer experience as well. I've seen some issues with this and doing some trust work myself. And that is that naming family members to be executor, personal representative, to be power of attorney, to be your healthcare power of attorney, to be trustee, all of those things, you better be real clear about why you're doing it, and make sure that you're not having to run down to the attorney's office to do an amendment or codicil every time there's a dispute or issue, that these are things that are well established and not subject to the whim of the day.
I couldn't agree more. One of my favorite things to encourage people to do is name co-successor trustees. And a lot of times we prefer a corporate successor trustee, like a bank or investment advisors. Other people can be trustees, but let the professionals handle the money stuff and the distributions. And so you can't get caught with sticky hands, or someone can't look over and say, why did you do this?
Mm-hmm.
But you can still provide the emotional side of things. And so there are ways to deal with this stuff, and it's better to put a plan in place and to let it unravel by itself.
No question. And I got to tell you, Robert, I've got my Certified Trust Financial Advisor designation and went and did that. I've gotten so many requests from clients and so many situations that are just self-evident for people needing that independent person to be able to act in that executor, personal rep, as well as trustee capacity, because of there being conflict within the family, or nobody that has the skills or understanding, or family members spread out all over the country and everybody's busy, and just all kinds of different situations where people would be very wise to finding somebody that they can trust, no pun intended, to help them get this stuff squared away, because, you know, again, that takes away a lot of the emotional and potential conflicts, especially where you have one child being responsible for disbursing or taking care of the money for another. You just are really setting up a situation where you're creating a real ugly, instead of beautiful, an ugly legacy.
No, and I agree. And I, you know, on the surface, when people say, hey, I want you to be trustee or I want you to be my executor, it sounds great on paper, but it's a lousy job. So transfer the risk. Give it to somebody else.
Who's paid to do it.
Right. Just
who's paid to take the beating.
Be done with it. Don't stress the other people about it. Let them deal with your, you know, the loss of that person instead of
exactly.
all this other stuff.
So, yeah, exactly. Focus on the other things. And people get a little bit caught up in the cost of that. But if you look at, you know, you look at situations where you've got blended families or you've got people spread out all over the country and people having to work on the estate or go and liquidate assets, hire a realtor, sell the house, protect assets, all these things. And, you know, if it costs a couple of percent to have somebody take care of that for you, so what? I mean, at the end of the day, it's just so much easier and it avoids, you know, what's the cost of avoiding, you know, all the conflict that can ensue, and also lawsuits that happen between family members. And I've seen families spend not tens, but hundreds of thousands of dollars fighting with each other.
And that's what happens. I mean, it's the litigation, and it's no different with other aspects of financial service. I mean, I could go replace my windows in my house if I wanted to. It would take me forever. I would make 5,000 trips to Home Depot or Lowe's, and it's just not worthwhile when I can just pay a pro to come in and have it done in a day or two.
There you go.
Same with this kind of stuff. There's a layer of protection also there with a corporate or an approved, you know, fiduciary successor trustee. And so simple things you can put in place to just salvage your family, because that's really what it's about, salvaging the relationships, not just the dollars and cents.
Well put. Robert Lara, ladies and gentlemen, our returning guest and man, myth, legend, all three, if you ask me. Glad to have him with us. RobertLara.com is the website. The book, Naked Retirement, Stripping It to the Core. Quick break. We'll be right back with Robert.
Newsflash. All financial advisors are not created equal. You need to find one who has a greater education with advanced degrees and professional certifications. One with multiple licenses offering a wide range of solutions. One who's independent and discloses his fee structure, like independent advisor David Holland. David is a CPA, certified financial planner, personal financial specialist, and chartered financial consultant. With 24 years financial experience, David offers a wide range of personalized solutions and discloses all fees in writing. Call Holland Financial for a one-on-one meeting with David at 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
And welcome back. You know, we're back with Robert Lara on the line with us, robertlara.com, and you can go to all his various activities and writings and such from that main website, robertlara.com, and the book, Naked Retirement, Stripping It to the Core. Great view and guidance and thought-provoking about what to do with your retirement, and it's not just about the money. And I got to come back to the trustee thing just one more minute, Robert, because it's interesting, you know, with all the potential fighting that can go on. And when I talk to people that come in and meet with me for the financial and investment estate planning that they want to do, and we start getting into the conversation about trust work and about whether how they want to handle that and what they've done to plan for that, I got to tell you, it seems so often, and maybe I just have a little bit of a, I don't know, skewed perspective, it seems so often that, you know, during the conversation that one of the spouses will say, well, you know, we've got this one over here and we don't, there's a little bit of a conflict here, and they are concerned about the potential for conflict or even resenting the grantor, the parent, you know, after they're gone. And so, you know, one of the things I tell them, I said, look, you know, if the kids, if there's potential for conflict and fighting, you think about having somebody else like me do as an independent trustee, let me do it for you. And you know what? If they're not happy, they can be mad at me.
Right.
Okay, they can be mad at me. It's not going to ruin your legacy or have family be estranged for the rest of their lives or not speak for 10 years. Or, you know, they can all, in fact, it might be just a unifying thing that they can all be mad at me together. But it's just, again, back to what you said, is just it lets people focus on those relationships. And that's what you want as a legacy. And yeah, the money's important, but you want them to be able to to have those ongoing relationships in which they remember you and think of you.
Well, I think the other important thing is, and again, just the benefit of working with a professional, especially, you know, people, again, with your type of a background who have some trust experience. But more importantly, I think it's about having experience with clients. And so, again, I don't want to beat up on any advisors who've only been in the business for 3 or 5 or maybe even only 10 years. But the longer you've been in this business, the more knowledge and information you do collect. And really what I find a lot of clients, and especially what you're talking about, David, want is someone that can give 3 or 4 examples. Well, here's a situation I had with this client, and here's what they did. Here's this other one, here's what they did, and here's another way we resolved this way. Because it is just about, there's no best way to divvy it up. But you want to work with someone who's got some experience and some different strategies, not just a one-size-fits-all and jam you into this. So it's important to find that professional who's got that experience as well.
Well put, well put. You know what else, Robert? This is something that is very often overlooked and kind of gets skipped over in the process when people start thinking about trust. Is that the real big thing, and this has a huge impact on what may be left to divvy up, the real big thing that the trusts accomplish for people is it's there to spring into action if somebody becomes incapacitated or can't handle their own financial affairs.
You got it.
And that's huge because, you know, there's two primary documents, and I'm not an attorney, don't play one on television, but I can comment on this from having worked with attorneys and some of the practical knowledge that you get in doing this work. There's two documents that people need to be mindful of when it comes to controlling their assets in the event of an incapacity situation: power of attorney and a trust document. Well, here's what's really interesting. A power of attorney, when you make somebody your power of attorney, you grant them that authority. You just popped out the cloning machine and made them a clone of you legally, and they could, with that power of attorney, they can go and do things on, you know, on your behalf, but without your consent. And it is a very powerful document. People don't realize just how powerful that is. So it's to be very careful who you give that to. On the other hand, the successor trustee who could step in the event you become incapacitated and handle those trust assets and disperse them to help you, maybe if you're in a recovery or in a care facility or whatever the case may be, very different type of role. And that is a temporary and is only focused on those trust assets. So, you know, when you get into some of this estate planning, there are some real differences that the different roles and how these things can be used. But before we even get to divvying up assets for the kids, the trust assets, a lot of them might be used to take care of mom and dad.
I think the important thing is, you know, education, understanding your options. Because you're exactly correct that it's just a matter of, you know, what documents are involved, what are the pros and cons of who we put in this role. You want to work with, you know, information providers. You know, it's one of the things I agree to come on your show is because you do educate people. You've got books, articles. That's really what financial services is about today, helping people understand their options and make the best choice, not just send them into a product and hope for the best.
I think, Robert.
The other key thing is, too, is that just because you're doing estate planning doesn't mean you're going to die. You can still have 20 or 30 years of good life. And a lot of people are like, I'm putting that stuff off until later. Well, it doesn't mean you're, the end of your life is imminent. It just means you're prepared for whenever it does happen.
That's a good way to put it, Robert. I think that people need to embrace and deal with it and then, you know, live accordingly. If you're just joining us, Robert Lahr is our guest today. RobertLahr.com. That's the website, Naked Retirement, Stripping It to the Core. And great book by Robert. And there's lots of great information on his website. Check it out. We're going to grab a break. We'll come back and talk about the retirement directions you are following. Who says what to whom and what kind of advice are you following? Stay right there.
Since 1997, David Holland has built a solid reputation in our local community as an independent financial advisor. Just as important, Holland Financial's professional team has grown to include 3 experienced certified financial planners, a tax accountant, an attorney, 3 chartered financial consultants, accredited asset management specialists, and certified annuity specialists. Our attentive and professional staff gives prompt and individualized attention to each and every one of our clients. Count on Holland Financial for your financial advice, not only for today, but for many years to come. Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us online at planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And welcome back. We have Robert Lara, a.k.a. Mr. Prolific Writer, on the line with us, robertlara.com. Glad to have him back. He wrote another very interesting article for Forbes back in June, and the title was, Whose Retirement Directions Are You Following? Who are they following? Whose directions are they, Robert?
Well, I think they're following some old ones. You know, they're still breaking out the maps, but all the routes have changed. I think for the most part, and again, I don't mean to be so harsh, but people are brainwashed into believing that retirement is just about the dollars and cents. Mm. And those are the directions that they follow, and they hope that it's going to provide this wealth and this comfort and all these amazing things in retirement. And then they get there and they realize they took a wrong turn and they lost some of the things that are most important to them, their relationships, their passions, their hobbies, their health, friendships. And it's hard to reconnect them at that point.
That's what I love about your book, Naked Retirement, Stripping It to the Core, Robert, because that's the very things, those are the very things that you talk about in your book. And you hit people on that they need to be thinking about how they're going to spend their retirement years and think ahead, not just about the money. And my mom tells me that one of the things that was a big transition for her, and unfortunately, we didn't have your book handy at the time, but a big thing for her was making that transition was what she would do with her time. Yeah. And it was really a big investigation, and she had to kind of figure it out as she went along.
And, you know, it's interesting because I've got a retirement priorities quiz on my website, retirementproject.org, that people can take that just takes a look at where your priorities at. Are they based on the financial stuff or the personal stuff? And really what the results have shown so far is that only about 25% of people go into retirement with a written plan that focuses on what everyday life is going to be like. So that means 75% of baby boomers entering retirement don't have a plan. They're going in blindfolded. And they kind of, everyone makes assumptions about, well, I'm going to do this, well, I'm going to do that. And then all of a sudden they get there and they're bored by Tuesday, or they're drinking by Saturday, to fill the time because they don't know what to do. And, you know, retirement is a cunning thief. I talked about this in another article. It can rob a lot of stuff from you. So you really have to pay attention and you've got to take steps to look at things outside of just the dollars and cents.
Well, and I know it's uncomfortable to talk about some of these things that people end up doing because they get there and they go, golly, this is not what I thought it was going to be. And I have a client, Robert, you'll appreciate this, and he tells me that he's with a circle of friends, and that I use that word kind of loosely. He's got a circle of friends, and some of the folks he runs into, these acquaintances, you know, they're a little bit baffled by his not being hammered by 11 o'clock in the morning. I mean, I'm serious. He's like, and they're like, "What? We don't understand. Why aren't you part of our little you know, group that is just you know, not really trying to handle it in a sober way, you know?"
Well, and the real reality is, if you don't fill your time with something, it'll get filled by something else, and that's really, it's a default for a lot of people. I talk about the dark side of retirement, you know, addiction, depression, you know, highest rates of suicide, white males over the age of 65, they lose their identity. And so you really have to take some concrete steps, because the other thing I talk about in that article is you can't compartmentalize retirement planning. You can't have very specific and disciplined habits for your saving and investing, but not the rest of your life. But that's what people try to do. And at some point, it's going to catch up to you and burn you. And so stop, change course, and fix it right now.
Well, yeah, because you do not want to end up finding yourself ODing, overdosing on too much Fox News. It'll kill you, man. It'll kill you.
They become conspiracy theorists. But you're right. They get so caught up in
right.
it. Or you don't want to find yourself sitting there next to the phone waiting for it to ring. You don't want to be alone, and it happens so often to people that it is just a wake-up call. And again, it's nothing hard or shocking. It's really just, hey, what does a perfect day and a perfect week look like? You know, who are the people you want to be around? This is exactly why I wrote the book, because they're just fundamental exercises to raise your awareness about the mental, social, and physical parts of life that you're going to be losing when you retire.
Amen to that. And I'm teasing about Fox News, but I got to tell you, I mean, this just in, Fox News alert. I mean, enough's already, okay? I mean, we get it. There's a traffic light out on Wall Street, and that's a Fox News alert. You know, come on. It's really to try to keep people's attention, but it becomes too much, and I find people become really worn out with it. And that's why they've got to do things and get out there and be active. And the real thing is, establish. You can't wait. And I think this is one of your core messages, Robert. You can't wait until you're there to say, okay, I'm retired, and now I'm going to create all of these things that don't exist because I was so focused on the accumulation of the money part, which, of course, you and I both agree is very important. But to have left everything else out of the equation and just all that was forsaken in the reaching the monetary goal, and then they have all these other challenges because they didn't take the time and focus their attention, and that's what it's really about. Focus their attention on developing these other things that are going to be part of a meaningful retirement.
And it doesn't, like I said, it's not hard. You know, it just really is. If you're going to walk every day in retirement for exercise, start walking today. If you're going to eat healthy once or twice a week, or if you're going to visit, you know, start to lay it out and start to do these things. Because, you know, first we make our habits and our habits make us. There's no magical fairy dust that you get when you go into retirement that all of a sudden makes you motivated to do new stuff. Old doors don't open new ways. And that's what happens to a lot of people. And so you just got to shake that foundation, start now so you can transition instead of get shocked into it.
I like that. Old doors don't open new ways. You're full of good quotes, Robert.
Well, when you crank out, you know, 8 or 10 articles a month for different places, you tend to grab a lot of stuff.
Well, here's my parting gift to you. And I was thinking about this, as you said, about people, you know, misinterpreting things in wills and all that, or what people's intentions are. It really relates more to business, but I'll give it to you anyway because it's a David original. You ready?
Yeah.
Nobody ever misunderstands to your benefit.
Great.
Isn't that good? Yeah. Oh, I didn't know I promised you a 40% discount anyway. Good stuff. Always good to be with Robert. Robert Lahr, ladies and gentlemen. RobertLahr.com is the website, and the book, Naked Retirement, Stripping It to the Core. And of course, you know, Robert, you're welcome back anytime. Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.